Hey, listener, are you happy with your current chicken wings? Do you wish you had something a little saucier? If you answered yes, then it might be time for you to break up with your old chicken wings and get a new honey. Lemon pepper wing from Popeyes. Share the wings with your friends so they can see it's time to move on, too. Head to Popeyes and get 6-piece honey lemon pepper wings for $5.99. At participating U.S. restaurants, price may vary.
Warning, things are about to get intense. Like when you stare into the eyes of someone that you really like for a full minute straight without blinking. Intense! Intense heat! Lasting plump! From the hot new Lifter Plump from Maybelline, New York. Formulated with chili pepper! Lifter Plump delivers a heated sensation for an instant lip plumping effect that lasts. Available in 8 sizzling shades. Honestly, my favorite is hot honey and cocoa zing. I put it on my lips and honestly, it did sizzle them. It sizzled them right to the moon. They were plump and juicy and everyone was like, Nicole, can I? And I'm like, get in line. Can you take the heat? Find your shade at Maybelline.com or a retailer near you. Amazon shoppers get 10% off Lifter Plump purchase with code 10PLUMP for a limited time. You Date Me, a podcast where me, Nicole Byer, is exploring the thematic idea of love. I was trying to figure out why I'm still single, but listen, it's been 5 years, 6 years, don't know, don't have an answer, so we're just talking about love. My guest today is an actress, writer, director, and producer who you know from Whitney and The New Girl. Now she's making TV history as the first woman to write, direct, and star in every episode of a television series with her upcoming show, Slip! It's Zoe Lister Jones!
Thank you, Nicole.
That's a fun thing. That you're the very first woman to do that?
I think that's what they told me.
That's what they told me!
I think so. There are obviously so many women who have, come before me and done incredible things on television. But I think it's the directing every episode of a season that hasn't been done in conjunction with those other things.
How fun. Wait, are you done? It sounded so disingenuous, but I do mean it.
No.
Are you wrapped?
Oh yeah, it's coming out April 21st. We locked this fall. So I've just been sort of sitting around waiting to share it with the people.
Just waiting, being like, I have something wonderful. I did it. When will you put it out? I know the feeling. Were you exhausted? That seems okay. Here's like a logistical thing that me as an actor probably should know, but I'm sure other people will be like, yeah, that's a good question. Or they'll be like, you're an idiot, Nicole. Don't know. Okay. So when you're directing yourself, do you have playback or do you just like, you're just like, maybe I'll do this.
Well, the first movie I directed, which I also starred in and wrote, I didn't have playback because it was so low budge and we shot it in 12 days and there just like simply was not enough time for playback. Mm-hmm. But on Slip, I did have playback and I had the two sweetest dudes named Max and Flax. They were like Pixar characters and they would just run up to me with mini monitor. But I tried not to go back to playback too often because I like to stay in it with the actor and I guess I trust myself mm-hmm. enough to be able to direct from within the scene. It's really like directing from within the belly of the beast, you know? You get to be right up in it.
That's so wild. I don't think I have that gene because like sometimes I'll be in a scene and I'm like, wow, my friend is acting so good. And then I'll forget to do my line because I'm like really enjoying their performance.
But that's good. That's a good
thing.
Like,
it happens during improv, too. I guess I'm constantly ruining things because I'm like, wow, that was really good. You're really good.
But that's so much better than being like, oof, what a stinker of an actor my friend is.
I've been there too. And a weird thing happens where I overdo things to be like, hey, maybe you say words better.
Wait, so you're, do you like try to direct from within, even when you're not directing? Sometimes I do think as an actor, you're doing it unconsciously, yes. Right? You're like,
yes,
but say it.
Just trying to like, yeah, give them a little bit more feeling so that they give you more. So I try to like, step up a little bit so they match me, so then they're just like better.
So you essentially are directing from within the scene. That's what I do also.
Oh, but you just get to say it out loud.
But sometimes you don't even have to, because you can manipulate through your own acting.
God, acting is so interesting. I think it's really interesting. I think it's really boring to bring people to set because everything moves so slowly. But I like fundamentally on set every day. I'm like, this is really interesting.
It is. It's such a wild, it's one of the only places, I'm such a heady person that like, strangely, acting is one of the only places that like, I turn off my brain. Which is maybe not good, but like, there is something about it that I like, because the end goal is to be as present as you can possibly be in the moment. Mm-hmm. Like, I sort of then just get to not think about all the other bullshit that I'm generally thinking about if I'm doing my job well.
That's what acting is for me. You kind of just like leave all the bullshit at the door and then you're like, ooh, I get to make people laugh, make people feel.
Totally.
Ugh.
What
and
a
I
dream.
Love when camera operators go, that's funny. And I go, is it?
Thank I know.
You. I love compliments.
Live for making the crew laugh. That's like the greatest gift.
That's what I say, because I'm like, they've been there, they've seen it all. Most of them have worked for like forever. And if it's a comedy, they've probably worked on a comedy. And it's like, when you get them to laugh, it's like, ooh, that means I'm really funny.
Yeah. They're the toughest audience. They're eating such bad catering, you know, all day.
Catering in the last 5 years, I think, has gone so downhill. What a really insidery conversation.
Listen, let's talk catering.
Catering is sick.
Catering is, though, like, this is gross, but, like, you can tell that, like, when there's, like, such collective gas on a set, do you know what I mean? Which is, like, it's no good for anyone. You're all trapped in a room. You'd think that there'd be more incentive just on a sort of digestive front to get better food, to get better food to us all.
One would think. I was on a show once where the vegetables in the morning were just like rotten. And I was like, but you put it on a plate. But you put that on a plate and you gave it to me. Do you hate me? Why? Wait, Zoe, are you single? Are you dating? Or do you not want to say? Because that's an option.
I think I'd rather not say, but I did get out of a, I separated from my husband a couple of years ago.
That's a nicer way to put it. Yeah. I got out of, no. Separated.
So we were together for 17 years, which was a really,
oh my God,
massive relationship, and are still very close, which is, I've heard you talk on this show about consciously uncoupling. And so we did do that. And so that, that's probably the most major relationship news I can share was that transition into being on my own.
17 years is a very long time.
Very long.
And in those 17 years, do you feel like, that like you lost a little bit of yourself in the relationship?
I think I was fiercely like fighting to hang on to myself, like with no judgment of my partner. I was just like, I think because my mom is such a feminist and like raised me to be like, you never share a bank account, you buy your own home, you know, like there's so much about like, don't lose yourself in something to the point of like erasure financially and otherwise.
I mean, it's fucking smart.
It was good advice. I mean, it did make me a little like cagey, but I don't think I did. I mean, we made a lot of work together, so that was interesting. And it was very personal work. Like we made our first movie was about an open relationship that we were in. And so that was like, there was definitely a lot of like merging, merging artistically and otherwise that I think we had to navigate. And also like sharing our story, which was that we, I think that movie's called Breaking Upwards. It came out in 2009 or 10. So it was kind of before all the kids were poly, you know? now your grandma's poly, you know?
Everyone over 30, it feels like, is poly. Like a bunch of my friends are like, you know, it's a new step in our relationship. And I was like, okay, all right. How did you like being poly? Was it for you?
You know, like I appreciate the poly lifestyle from an intellectual level, because I think it's very challenging, and I don't know that it is for me, but I think the way that what I learned when I was exploring polyamory from, you know, deep poly heads was like that monogamy and non-monogamy could be viewed as equally challenging. We're just more used to monogamy as a construct.
Mm.
And I always found that interesting just to think about, because monogamy is really challenging, you know, for so many people. Slip is sort of about that. It's like about all of the what ifs that, whether you're in a relationship or not, like that sort of plague us throughout a life. I think especially in the pandemic, we were all like, but what about that person I kissed once in high school? Should I have married him? And what it would look like if you actually got to live out those fantasies or those what ifs and see them in reality, which is also what poly's kind of about. It's like being like, that person's hot at the bar, but I could actually do something about it and not be a shady trash person.
I don't think I could be poly. The more I think about it, like, again, you said you appreciate the idea of it. Same.
Yeah.
I think the idea of it's so nice. It's like, I don't own you. You go do whatever you want. We choose when we get to be together. But then I have so many insecurities that I'm like, oh, there's a reason why you don't want just me. There's a reason why you want other people. And I think it would make me go fucking crazy.
Yeah, I did lose my marbles. for sure. I'm also a deeply jealous person. So that's a difficult pill to swallow when your partner's fucking other people. yeah. And I mean, you know, we're actors, so it's like we like a spotlight.
Yeah.
And
I do.
And when
I really love someone paying a lot of attention to me. It makes me feel good.
We're not trying to be a part of an ensemble. We're trying to be a star.
You don't want to be part of the chorus line. Nobody puts me in a corner. Did you guys have like rules as to what you talked about? Because I know some of my friends are like, we tell each other every time we go out with somebody. We just like, we tell them about the person a little bit.
Yeah.
Which I think would crush me.
You know what's interesting, Nicole? So my godparents of polyamory, like my mom's friends are poly, right? And they sort of like taught us how to do it and like what to read and how to navigate. And for many years, we operated on a don't ask, don't tell system, which I thought was better. And in some ways, I still waver between what's better, because I think if your partner's paying enough attention to you and you're not feeling the impact of whatever they're doing outside of your relationship, I might like rather not know. You know what I mean? Like, but then it gets complicated because then there is like omission happening, and what are we sharing? Mm. What are we hiding? Can you trust? Trust just comes up a lot.
I guess so. Yeah.
So then we started sharing more about it. And that was, I think that is ultimately the way to go if you're going to, if you're going to do it. Cause it is about like radical honesty.
Yeah. I think I would have to do it that way, because the don't ask, don't tell thing, when I start dating someone, find exactly who their ex was and every girl they've ever dated. And I look at them and I go, how closely do they resemble me? Or is this a swing in a different direction? So it's like, if my partner didn't tell me who they were sleeping with, I would just find them. I would let work fall by the wayside. I would stay up all night and I would figure it out.
Oh,
so,
for
yeah,
sure.
I think it would just be healthier to just be like, I'll just tell you.
Now, do you ask when you're dating someone about their previous relationships, like from the jump?
No, I wait like a month or two and then I go, what's the longest relationship you've been in? And I already know. I've scrolled down on their Instagram and I've counted the years. I just want to know if you're going to tell me. It's not good.
But it's not not good.
Hey, Zoe, thank you so much.
I think it's important to learn all those things. I think waiting 1 to 2 months is actually like very admirable.
Thank you. I try to like have a little bit of restraint so I don't like come across as a fully insane person. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I am insane. It is what it is.
It is what it is. But also everyone's insane. That's the thing. It's like everyone's doing that kind of research. I don't know if people, I mean, okay, in poly, there's like a term called compersion,
ooh,
which is like, it's like, to want your partner, I'm probably going to fuck this up and like the poly community is going to come
for you.
But it's like to want your partner to also have great experiences with other people.
Oh.
It's like if you love someone, you want them to be live, laugh, loving.
I guess I'm like, I want them to live, laugh, love with me. I'm the only one.
I know. Listen, I struggle with it. I definitely struggle with it because I do want to hang with the cool kids, you know?
Yeah.
But it's definitely not without so many challenges. And even my poly godparents are
your fairy like, poly godparents. I love that.
They've told me, like, their stories are harrowing. It's not like they've got it down to a science. Mm-hmm. Nobody does. But then you hear harrowing stories of monogamy, too, you know, of people having sick affairs and secret mm-hmm. families and or even whatever, getting going too deep into some DMs.
There was an improv show where I was at where maybe I heard about it. Maybe I wasn't at it. You know, you hear stories a bunch and you're like, I was there. But anyway, there was an improv show.
Let's say you were at it.
Let's say I was there. And they interviewed somebody in the audience and their dad had like 3 separate families along the coast of California. And all the kids were named the same names.
No.
And they went to the dad's funeral. All of the families ended up meeting. And like the moms didn't know either. So they just showed up to this funeral, I have a question. Who planned the funeral if not the mom? I guess maybe his brother or something. Listen, maybe I wasn't there because I don't have all the facts.
I'm like, you were at the funeral, Nicole. That's what's crazy about this story.
I was right there at the funeral and it was my dad. Yeah. There was 3 different Nicoles there. It was wild.
I do want you to write this script though.
But truly, imagine finding out that your dad had a whole other family. Then it's just like, yeah, maybe talk about polyamory.
That there's doppelgangers of you across the country named your name. That's fucked.
Yeah, that's wild.
Yeah, that's when polyamory maybe does make more sense.
Yeah. Yeah, just talk about it. Be like, hey, this isn't just for me. And then the person can make a choice. If you cheat on someone, the other person doesn't have autonomy. Is that a word I can use there?
I think so.
Hey, thank you.
I approve. I approve of autonomy.
Thank you so much.
It's interesting, like, because there's always, you always want to put a lot of rules on non-monogamy to make it feel safer.
Yes.
But rules go out the window once you start fucking. You know what I mean? That's the thing. And that's where you have to be able to really trust your primary partner. Because mm-hmm. like when someone says like, well, you just can't, you can have sex with other people, but you can't fall in love. It's like,
you can't really make those rules. People just fall in love. The question is if they fall in love, can you trust that they'll probably fall out of love and then come back to you?
Ooh-wee. Okay, in theory, I love it, but in practice, it would make me crazy. But also, in theory, it's like, well, I don't own my partner. My partner should be allowed to go do whatever they want, and I should be okay with it and trust that they'll come back. And if they don't come back, that's their own prerogative because they're their own person. But no, I don't want that.
No. You got to lock them in.
Lock them in. Trick them. Never let them leave your house. I was watching this show last night called Searching for Brother Husband, which is the wildest name for a show.
No. What is that?
TLC, the learning channel, wants you to learn so many different things. But it was this woman, well, it was a bunch of women looking for polyamorous relationships. And there was one lady who had a husband. She asked to open the relationship and then met another man, and then that man moved into their house and they've been like a throuple, except the two men don't interact. It's just they're her partners. And one is her primary, and one like has his own room and like hangs out. And then they're both freaking out because she wants to open up the relationship further and take on other lovers and have her own bedroom. And I was like, boy, oh boy. This woman, how does she get two men who are okay with this? And then she wants more? I was like, how greedy? How greedy?
I got to tell you something. I love that.
I love it too, but I don't know how she's doing it.
She has an insatiable appetite and she knows to ask for what she needs. Mm-hmm. And if people are not willing to play according to her rules, brother husband has to leave. Now, my question is, who is brother?
I don't know. And I'm 90%. Wait, let me look this up. I'm pretty sure it's called Seeking Brother Husband.
I don't think
yes,
that's okay.
It's called Seeking Brother Husband. And yeah, I can't really tell you why. I don't know. Maybe it's because the two husbands are essentially brothers.
No, that's not good.
No, they're not like legally brothers, but maybe it's because they're not sexually intimate. They're like, they're not companions. I don't know. Zoe, this is wild. The name of the show never bothered me until you said it.
First of all, I have a lot of things to circle back to about that, what the sentence that you just said. But like, why? We have to talk to TLC. Let's get TLC in the chat.
We gotta get him. Wait, real quick, we have to take a break. One in five Americans have learned a new language on their bucket list. If that's you, make 2024 the year you finally check it off the list with Babbel, the science-based language learning app that actually works. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are designed by over 150 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Babbel's designed by real people for real conversations. Plus, all of Babbel's 14 language courses are backed by their 20-day money-back guarantee. Guess what? I love to travel. And honestly, traveling is better when you can speak the local language. So, ordering food, asking for directions, or just saying, me encanta Poppy, I think I said, I love you, daddy. Anyway, people just treat you better when you speak their language. Plus, it's nice not having to consult language apps while on vacation because I'm having fun in the sun. Here's a special limited time deal for listeners. Right now, get 55% off your Babbel subscription, but only from the listeners at babbel.com/date me. Get 55% off at babbel.com/date me. Spelled BABBEL.com/date me. Rules and restrictions may apply. Today and every day, Planned Parenthood is committed to ensuring that everyone has the information and resources they need to make their own decisions about their bodies, including abortion care. Lawmakers who oppose abortion are attacking Planned Parenthood, which means affordable, high-quality, basic health care for more than 2 million people is at stake. The right to control your body and get the healthcare everyone needs has been stolen. And now politicians in nearly every state have introduced bills that would block people from getting the sexual and reproductive care they need. Planned Parenthood believes everyone deserves healthcare. It's a human right. And that's why they fight every day to push for common sense policies that protect your right to control your own body and against policies that interfere with decisions between patients and their doctors. Planned Parenthood needs your support now more than ever. With supporters like you, you can help reclaim your rights and protect and expand access to abortion care. Visit PlannedParenthood.org/future. That's PlannedParenthood.org/future. And we're back. That was brought to you by Brother Husband. No, I'm kidding. It definitely wasn't. But it is a wild name that it really didn't hit me till you said it. Yeah, who's the brother?
Because I don't think anyone should be searching for brother husband.
No.
I just think even though many times husband becomes brother and we don't, but that's not something that we're aspiring to, you know?
Yeah, no.
Yeah. We want, I can't wait to watch Searching for
I mean, it was pretty interesting. I just couldn't believe this lady. And then I think it's Carl and Tiger. So her husband's name's Carl. Tiger is the second who was added. Mm-mm. And they've been together for 10 years. And I can't remember how long she was with her husband before Tiger entered the picture. Yeah. And she wants to have like a commitment ceremony with Tiger. But Tiger's family just thinks that he's dating a married woman. She's like, it's been 10 years. Like, I have a fulfilling relationship with Tiger. And I think Tiger has become her primary partner in the bedroom. But I don't remember. It was a lot of people to keep track of. Because then there was another woman who just, like, introduced the idea to her her husband. And he's like, okay. And then she keeps saying things like, I mean, are you going to be okay when you see me holding hands and kissing someone else? And he's like, you know, I think, I'll, you know, and I don't think he's okay with it.
Maybe brother husband was all, wait, what's her name?
Oh, God. I don't remember any of the ladies' names.
Let's call her Nicole. Maybe.
Okay. Oh.
Maybe brother husband was all her idea so that husband wasn't too jealous. She's like, no, he's my brother husband.
Mm.
You know, even though he's primary in the bedroom.
Maybe. I mean, it truly is a wild show. And her name is Kenya. That's her name. And she's great.
Kenya. Yeah, that's good. Did you watch Fuckboy Island?
I didn't get too into it. I watched the first couple episodes, and I did like it. I thought it was fun. I really liked the interviews with the men who were like, yeah, I'm a fuckboy. And I'm like, okay.
It's insane. I was so hooked. Just the amount of like bold-faced lies and manipulation are really my love language, if we're speaking honest.
I do like watching TV where people are just being horrible people to each other.
Horrible. I've recently been watching Survivor.
Oh.
And I feel that I'm trying to really learn the rules of life through it because I don't feel that I'm... I don't feel that I'm strategy oriented, especially when it comes to love.
Oh, with love? I don't even know how to be strategic. I find love to be so confounding and confusing. And I know I'm a loud person and that might have to do with my lack of love. But also, I don't know. Maybe I need to go out more. I don't know.
What do you feel that you have like a type or a person that you have in your mind?
In my mind, I have a very nice person who I find very handsome or pretty.
Okay.
I don't really care about gender. I'm pretty heteronormative, but like if a woman came in my life or a non-binary person or a trans person came into my life, I wouldn't just close the door because that sounds insane to me.
Can't.
Because people are people and people are beautiful.
Hell yeah.
But yeah, in my mind, a nice person who like likes me, loves me, and is nice, but the people I go for are people who are good looking to me, who are then mean to me, and actively don't like me.
Nicole.
I see. So that's the reality versus the fantasy.
Yes.
That's an interesting one. I struggled with that for a lot of my life, of just like chasing unrequited love.
Yes.
Because it is a way to avoid real intimacy.
Yeah, because you're like, this person doesn't like me, but if I try hard enough, they maybe will like me. But deep down, I know they will never change, and it's fine. We're not compatible. But that rejection, you know, you cry a little bit, but it doesn't really hurt because you haven't opened up, really.
Exactly.
You've just been doing bits.
It is also like a very easy, although painful way of validating your own self-loathing, which I feel is something, you know, it's the lifelong journey to try to actually transcend that. And I feel like there's so many like relationship experts that are like, we have to learn to love yourself first, which true. But the other thing I do also believe is that you can learn a lot in relationship with another person.
I think so too. Because a lot of times people are like, finish your bullshit before you get into a relationship. Like, make sure you're rock solid. And it's like, but maybe somebody might help you become a better person or the better version of you. And maybe that's okay that they help you do that. Not that I think it's anyone's job to, like, help somebody, but I don't know. Maybe that would be a nice thing.
For sure. And also, nobody who is rock solid. I don't know a single rock solid person.
No, me either. Most of my friends are having nervous breakdowns constantly.
Yeah, I feel like it's always that there's always those two archetypes of like nice person, rejecting person. And the nice person is conventionally less attractive. because they're available.
Because they have to be.
No, not like physically, but like they are a less sexy option.
I see.
No. I'm not saying nice people are not attractive.
I truly thought you were saying nice physically. People were ugly, and I was right there with you. I was like, they're the ugliest.
No.
They're I'm nasty.
That those people are not thought of as sexy because they are kind and making themselves available to you. And it's the chase that we've been taught is like the sexy thing.
Yeah, which is funny because I feel like I've always been told that like men like to chase. But since no men were ever chasing me, I was like, well, I'll just take that into my own hands. And I don't think men like to be chased. I don't know if people like to. I don't know. I don't really like being chased because I'm like, ew, why are you... Why are you pressing so hard? And I don't know why I'm wired like that.
I think it's so normal. But I will say being chased by the right person is a pretty fun game.
I just got to wait for the right person. Because there was this man who was like kind of chasing me. But then I just stopped texting him back because I was like, it's too much.
Why?
Because I wasn't feeling it. It was just we also had nothing in common. And our interactions in person weren't like the most, like, I wasn't like, ooh, wow. It was just like, okay, all right.
Yeah. If you know, you know.
Yeah. And I feel like it's like an easy thing where you're like, that person's not for me. Wait, do you remember your very first relationship?
My first relationship was, I was a late bloomer.
Mm-hmm.
Like, my first kiss was, like, 16, but then I, like, was very afraid of being in a relash. I had a lot of fear around intimacy. And so my first real relationship was in college with a person who was infatuated with me, like, publicly infatuated with me. And I did not find that attractive. Until he fucked my friend.
Okay. That makes sense to me because you're like, ooh, wait, she wanted that. So maybe I want that.
That's right. And then I did want that. And then the second he had me, he was actively mean to me. Like, he had pined for me for so long. Mm-hmm. And then once I opened my heart up, he just stomped it like that lady on YouTube with the grapes. Remember?
Oh, of course I remember. Ow, 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 ow. I haven't thought about that in so long. Oh, what a funny video. What a real treat.
What a gift. Ow, ow, what ow, a ow, gift. Ow. But he did break, he broke my heart. So, like,
oh,
I was devastated in the wake of that. Yeah. But I learned a lot. And then I almost immediately started dating my ex-husband and then was, you know, married
swept
for so
away.
Long. Swept away.
Wait, swept 17 away. Years truly is so long. So yeah. Wait, how long were you open for those 17 years?
We opened and closed it. Like, we weren't, I think 2 years in, we opened it for a mm-hmm. year. And that was like our don't ask, don't tell. We were young. We were like 23. Mm-hmm. So we were just, you know, out on those streets. It wasn't like we were looking mm-hmm. for like a poly other relationship. We could barely handle our own relationship. And then we closed it up. And then it was like open and closed sort of off and on throughout, but never too significantly. And then towards the end of our relationship, we were more actively like poly mm-hmm. For probably like a year. So it was the breadth of our relationship was pretty monogamous, mm-hmm. which probably made those like bursts a little easier because it was a sort of a tested thing that we were in.
I think it would make me feel more comfortable to be like, okay, we've been monogamous for 2 years. Now we open. Now we're closed for 2 years. Yeah, yeah, now we're open. Yeah, yeah. Just for a little bit, and then you come back and you love me forever.
It's a release valve. And also, like, as actors, you know how it is. It's mm-hmm. it's a crazy thing we do, you know? Like, to be on set sort of at summer camp. Like,
yes,
it's a wild.
That's truly what it is.
It's really a wild and demented life we lead.
Every time I go to work, I'm like, oh my God, am I gonna fall in love on set today? And then every day I go to set and I go, everyone here is fucking married. It's depressing.
Really? Wait, but there's gotta be some single people on your sets.
The last job I worked, I feel like every single person was married. And oof. I would ask, I'd be like, are you married? Let me see your wife.
Let me see your wife.
It's my favorite thing to know who people go home to.
Me too.
Because sometimes you're like, oh, I know exactly what your wife looks like. And then sometimes you are wholeheartedly surprised and you're like, oh, I would never. Or, ooh,
I
what
know.
A babe.
I
and then
know.
It's like an acting exercise where you have to just be excited by everyone's spouse. Because you can't just go, ew.
Well, it's also really interesting, like at like rap parties, like when a show is over, yes. when a movie's over, and people bring their partners because you've been living in this bubble where mm-hmm. people are, they act differently, you know, at work
yes.
or when, and then you see them like in this new persona with their significant others. Mm-hmm. I love breaking that down.
It's
I want to dive right into the psychology of people's relationships.
This doesn't have to do with a relationship, but at a rap party, our locations person or assistant, I don't know. She worked in locations. She was really funny. She got so hammered that she lost her shoes. And it made me laugh so hard because I'd never seen her like that. But I was like, wow, people are different at work than they are at a party.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, she got into a cab shoeless and she's like, I gotta go. Like, you do.
That's incredible. Ugh. Yeah, people get shwasted.
Mm-hmm.
They work hard and then they play hard.
And then they play so hard.
They play so
you're
hard,
like, oh,
they lose
no.
their damn shoes.
God, that was my absolute favorite rap party. Everyone lost their mind.
Oh my
Wait,
God.
Zoe, mm-hmm. do you like love? That's a weird question, and I'm going to stand by it.
First of all, I love the question. And I'm going to say, I love love.
Same.
Like, I might love love a little too much.
What do you mean by that?
No, I'm a very romantic person beneath this cold exterior, you know? I know. I do. Like, I love love, and I think, not to bring it back to my show, but the show
do
is
it.
Like an exploration. It is an exploration of loving love. Like, mm-hmm. I'm the type of person that if I meet someone and I have a connection, I flash forward to a whole ass life together.
Yes.
Like, because I'm not a person who's like, oh, that person would be fun to sleep with. I'm like, that person would be fun to be my life partner forever. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know? And I think that is like something that I'm always so interested in, like why I go there, why I go straight to like falling in love with a person conceptually even, rather than being a more pragmatically minded person who's like, oh, that person's got a lot of baggage, but it's fun to talk to them at a bar, you know?
Mm-hmm. I do the same thing. I think I really romanticize interactions with people. And then if they like show the slightest bit of interest in me, I'm like, oh my word, you're going to be the perfect partner. We won't have any children. You're okay with that. Well, we might get a dog together and then you'll move in with me and we'll be in love forever. I do it all the time. Like if a man or a person, honestly, is just nice to me, I envision a whole world. I went through a phase where I was dating not with an intention. I was just like, I'm dating to fuck. And then that was bad.
Interesting. Why?
Because sometimes I'd fuck people that I had zero interest in, was not attracted to, and don't really understand why I was doing it. Because at the end of the day, you'd be like, okay, so I had sex, but like it wasn't good sex. It wasn't fulfilling sex, and it wasn't with like someone I had a connection with. And then I started dating a little bit with intention. And then like I've had sex so much with people I don't care about. And then when I finally had sex with someone that I was like, oh, there's like a little bit of feelings attached where like, I also think you like me back. I was like, oh, this is what I should have been looking for.
I know. I have a single friend who's been having a similar dilemma. Also, I think as women, it is empowering to be like, I'm going to date to fuck, mm-hmm. you know, like I can do that too. And it doesn't have to be attached to emotion or commitment or the idea of romance. But I'm just not built that way. Like I wish that I was built that way a little bit more, but I do find, I mean, everyone, even people who are able to fuck casually will admit to fucking a person that you like is going to be exponentially more mm-hmm. enjoyable. I hope.
I also hope. Because it's like, if you like them.
Yeah.
But I guess you could like someone and have bad sex.
100%.
I feel like you just got to talk to them. You just go, do this, please. And can you do that?
Yeah, for sure. For sure. I was, I had to direct from within sex scenes because the show mm-hmm. it's very much about sex. I'm like fucking my way through a multiverse.
Mm-hmm.
And that was interesting because it was giving me like courage to direct from within real sex.
Ah, see, I like that.
You know what I'm saying?
That's very empowering. Yes.
Like what you were saying is like, just say what you need.
I've always been like that. I've always been pretty vocal. Be like, hey, don't do that. I don't like it. Can you do this? Ooh, that's fun.
Yeah. Yeah, because that's a great way of establishing intimacy, too. Of like, nobody has to. I had a partner who asked me after the first time we hooked up what I liked and what I didn't like. And that was like,
that's nice.
Amazing. I'd never been asked that before because like, it's a scary question to ask.
I don't think I've ever been asked that before either. I've definitely asked people, being like, what do you like? And then sometimes you're like, oh, God, Nicole, all you talk about is sex. And I'm like, yes, because I like it. And it's fun to have. Please enter the query. Wait, Zoe, real quick, we have to take another break. Seasandea like you've never seen her before. From visionary filmmaker Luca Guadagnino comes Challengers, where Zendaya stars as Tashi Duncan, a former tennis prodigy who makes no apologies for her game on and off the court. For more than a decade, she has former best friends Patrick and Art, played by Josh O'Connor and Mike Feist, under her spell. It's Tashi's game and Tashi's rules. See Challengers only in theaters April 26th. Get tickets now at challengersmovie.com. Ever wonder how much of your personal data is out there? Your name, contact info, social security number, and home address? Even information about your family members. Ooh, ah! All being compiled by data brokers and sold to the highest bidder online, leading to identity theft, phishing attempts, harassment, and unwanted spam calls. Ring-a-ling. You can protect your privacy with Delete Me. Delete Me is a subscription service that removes your personal info from the largest people search databases on the web. Sign up and provide Delete Me with exact information you want deleted, and their experts take it from there. Delete Me isn't just a one-time service. Receive regular personalized privacy reports showing what they found, where they found it, and what they removed. Imagine this. You go on a few dates with someone from a dating app and things don't click. You move on, but they don't. They start showing up at places you frequent, sending messages, and it becomes clear they found your personal information online. That's scary, right? I think so. Knowing my data isn't as exposed makes me feel a lot safer. Take control of your data and keep your private life private by signing up for Delete Me now at a special discount for my listeners. Today, get 20% off your Delete Me plan when you go to joindeleteme.com/date me and use the promo code date me at checkout. The only way to get 20% off is to go to joindeleteme.com/date me and enter the code date me at checkout. joindeleteme.com/date me. Zoe, we're back from the break. Oh, God. Do you, okay, have you ever been on the apps at all?
Do you know, Nicole, I haven't.
How lucky.
I'm an app virgin. But I'm intrigued.
Listen, nothing good is happening on these apps. It's not fun. It's not a good time. I recently just deactivated all of them because I was like, I don't know. Maybe I'll meet someone in real life, but I'm really tired of like swiping and having mundane conversations with someone and then meeting them in person and going, you're not better than I thought you were.
I know. I can imagine. But there is something fun about like... This is a psychotic thing to say, but like shopping for a date. Because I am a compulsive, like, especially internet shopping. So like, it is internet shopping for a person.
It is. And oh my God, maybe that's why I'm doing bad. Because I like to buy weird things. I just bought a weird purse in the shape of a dog. And then in theory, it seemed good and I liked it. And then it came to my house and I was like, this is bad. This is not good. This like weird shaggy dog purse that I bought. Maybe I'm doing the same thing with people where I'm like, this interesting person.
So you need to shift just first your purchases, your online purchases in general. Yes. And then that's going to be a pipeline to your people purchase. Yeah,
I think so. I think if I just buy more thoughtful things that will help my life instead of clutter my life.
That really suit you.
Yes.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Because I'm a wild impulse buyer. Like I will buy something off Instagram before my eyes are open in the morning, you know? But generally it comes to me and I like it.
No, I was at the airport for like 10 hours a couple of weeks ago. It was really terrible. They kept pushing my flight back and then they just fucking canceled it. But I bought so much garbage while I was there. I just kept being like, yes, yes, yes. And then it all came to my house when I got back and I was like, oh no, now I got to open all this shit. And then I returned most of it.
Yeah. Was there anything you kept?
Yeah, I kept some weird sweatshirts from Nike. They're like purple and then one is pink. And then it says, you're beautiful or something. I don't know. There's like this weird inspirational quote on it that I was like, I mean, if anyone gets close enough to my chest to read it, maybe they're a good friend and something will happen.
Okay, so we're looking for the purple sweatshirt of people.
Yes. Comfy, pretty, cozy, and with a corny inspirational message within.
We love this. I've just learned of the golden retriever partner.
What's that?
This is a thing. This is an archetype. I just learned about it. I guess a person that greets you with like excitable energy. It is the...
I was talking to Zoe about this before we started recording, so I could jump in here.
Yeah.
A golden retriever boyfriend is a significant other that is easygoing and makes it simple to maintain a happy relationship. They're an easy laugh. They usually exhibit traits associated to that of the dog, which includes being joyful, playful, high energy, silly, warm, and loving.
I want to be that.
We want golden retriever partners. Easy laugh. I don't love the dog metaphor only because like I'm not a huge dog person, but dogs jump up. There's like an invasion of boundaries. But I love the idea of like, yeah, easy, accessible, committed, open, fun. I love an easy laugh.
I do love an easy laugh. Although every person I've ever dated is like, you don't laugh a lot. And I'm like, but I do. They go, no, you say that's funny.
I do that too.
I think it's just working in comedy. It's like, I don't laugh at jokes anymore, especially like jokes that are like, oh, I knew it was coming, or like, oh, that was a good joke. That's solid. I truly only laugh at things that either surprise me or are so fantastical that I'm like, oh boy, that was truly wild. What a dream. But yeah, just like normal people. That's funny.
Normies don't make you laugh.
Sometimes they don't, but sometimes I dated this person for a little bit who every now and again would make me like guffaw, like knee slap, like real laughs. And they would always be like, how come that doesn't happen every time I make a joke? And I'm like, I don't know, man. I can't help you with that. I don't know.
That's tough. But do you want a laugher at your jokes?
Yes and no. A smile will do, or a you crazy girl will do. I do really want to meet that person who every time I talk goes, you crazy girl.
You crazy. Oh, man.
I don't need anyone to be particularly funny. I just need them to be like down to clown. Do you know what I mean? Like if I start moonwalking in the middle of the mall, they can't be upset with me. They have to be like, well, I'll moonwalk too, or I'll start singing Michael Jackson. You know, like we got to be dummies together.
Yeah, I feel that. But it's interesting that you don't want, like I love a razor sharp wit, you know, that is a real turn on for me. I'm less of a mall moonwalker.
Ah, I see.
and I support your mall moonwalking.
Thank you so much.
And I think if we were in a mall together, I would moonwalk with you.
Ooh, thank you. That makes me very happy. Because I look for that quality in friendship too. I like friends who will do silly. I just like being silly sometimes.
Yeah. I don't have I was an only child and like I just was a serious kid. I was a very serious kid. And I didn't, I don't like go to silly easily, but I love people who can bring that out in me.
Wait, as an only child, was it lonely sometimes? Or were you just like, that's my life? It's fine.
I think as an adult, I understand how lonely I was,
especially
like
okay.
In the wake of my parents split up when I was 9.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Especially then it was really hard because I didn't have anyone to like shoulder that with or talk to about it. Or, and it was sort of at a time when people, not that many people were getting divorced. Mm-hmm. Like now it's just, you know, dime a dozen.
Yeah. People get married and get divorced the next day.
People get divorced. But I think it was. I think I really wished for siblings. I had 2 half siblings, but they lived in Canada. So they were very much not a part of my upbringing. So it was really just
me, my mom, and my dad in New York. Mm.
I have a sister, and I can't imagine growing up without her because she was always just there. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'd wake up and I'd be like, are you awake? Play with me.
That's so fun.
She'd be like, oh, all right, Nicole. And then she'd like, so my mom died when I was 16. So that was junior year or senior year? I don't really remember. But I do remember, it was junior year. And then senior year, we got to drive to school and we each got a parking space, which is insane because we were coming from the same house. But she would first. She would wake me up and be like, you have to go to school. And I'd be like, ugh. And then I was late for school every single day. But like, if she didn't wake me up, I don't think I would have ever made it.
Aww. So that's nice. Amazing. And are you still close?
We're close-ish. She lives in Chicago. So I don't get to see her that often, but I do try to like talk to her on the phone and, you know, keep it fun, keep it funky, keep it fresh.
Keep it fun and funky. Yeah. I guess that's the thing that I'm like most jealous of people with siblings is that they get like a forever friend.
Mm-hmm.
Like into if things are going well.
Yeah, if you get along and they're kind and they're nice and they haven't like robbed you or like slept with your partner or like murdered your, I don't know, best friend.
Or if they're your brother husband, you know.
Boy, that got me good. Truly, the name of the show didn't bother me until you said something.
And I am actively concerned. Yeah, about that.
God, that's so funny. I was just like, yep, seeking brother, husband. Very normal name. Also, TLC has another insane show called MILF Manor. Have you heard of MILF Manor?
No. Okay. What is it?
Let me tell you about MILF Manor. MILF Manor is a show where it's like eight moms, and then the dating pool is their sons, and they're all at this like manor in Mexico, and they have to do things like which pair of panties belong to your mother or which chest.
Fuck no.
That is a real challenge on the show. I fell off because I was like, this is getting a little weird, a little disturbing. One lady revealed they were telling like deep, dark sex secrets. And one lady revealed that she slept with her son's best friend. And he was like, she should have gone to the grave with that. And then he had like a mental break. And I was like, I think they should have stopped filming and helped this child. It's insane. TLC, they want you to learn.
Fuck no. Who's head of programming at TLC?
And I don't know.
And
wildest
what
person.
Is happening in their
Someone
personal
who's
life?
Truly out of their mind. Oh, it's very like early 2000s television.
Very much so. Mm-hmm. And yet, we're in 2023.
We are.
And it's still hitting.
It's still hitting. It's still good. I can't believe we're in 2023. Who
I know.
Knew we'd live this long into the future?
Not I.
Not I. Mm-mm. People born in 2000 are 23 now.
I know. And you know what's fucked?
Isn't that upsetting?
It's so upsetting. And like, so I'll hang out with young people and be like, we're the same. You know? I'm like, yeah, this is my like contemporary. I'm like, this is so cool. And then they tell me the year they were born. And I was like, it just, I have so much indigestion. Because it is wild to think about where I was in 2000 and where they were.
The house two doors down from me has teens and they have cool teen parties. And I think they're cool teen parties because a lot of teens show up and they're drinking and they're smoking. And I always walk my dog past them because I'm like, what is it like to be a teen now? I don't know. And then also I'm like, what is it like to have a house party in LA in like a big, beautiful house? Like, what is your life?
And like, are their parents allowing it?
I don't think so because they have an Audi and the Audi is usually gone when there's cool teen parties. So I think the parents go away and then they just have cool teen parties. They play a lot of Rihanna. So I'm like, they have taste.
Of course. Nicole, I want you to crash one of these parties.
I really want to. There was
I'm
one
sure
that was
they're
like,
fans.
I don't know. I don't. So, okay. Last time they had a cool teen party, I walked my dog wearing a big leopard print fur coat, leopard print Crocs, and leopard print pants. Cause I was like, maybe one of those cool teens will like make fun of me. And then I'll be like, what's
I
going
can.
On for you?
I can.
But nobody said a word to me.
No.
But I'm like, you can't just walk into a cool teen party. I'm like 30. 9:40. I'm 62 years old, and I don't want to like be thrown out because I'm like a bad old person. Do you know what I mean? But I'm like, I just want to know what the cool teens are doing.
No, first of all, I had a dream last night that Shailene Woodley told me she was 58 years old. And I was like, you see, we're all, age is a construct. It's a spectrum.
What a specific dream. It's really funny. God, that's so funny.
Very specific.
I'm 58 years 58. Old.
Huh? I was like, you look unbelievable. But I think they would accept you with open arms.
Oh,
and I think you'd be the life of the party. And I don't know. I kind of want you to give the leopard just one more go.
Right. Just like another walk around the block and be like, hey, cool teens, what's going on?
First of all, cool teens are smoking intense weed. They're smoking weed that our young bodies could never have metabolized.
No. When I buy weed out here, it's wild.
Yeah. So they probably didn't even, they're not registering, you know, their surroundings. I think you have to make yourself known. I think maybe you come like with a, like a boombox of Rihanna and you do sort of a over your head.
Yes.
Say anything vibe.
Yes. And then they'll be like, look at this cool adult in leopard print. We have to let her in the party. I'm just like, sometimes I hear pool splashes and I'm like, it's cold. What are you doing, cool teens? I wasn't a cool teen, and I think that's why I'm so obsessed with it. I wasn't really allowed to go to parties and stuff like that.
Mm.
And then I didn't start drinking till like senior year of high school, or maybe it was junior. I don't know.
I also didn't. I didn't drink or really party. Although my house, like my mom was so cool that she was like, you can throw parties. And I was like, I just don't have friends, you know? But
I just don't have the equipment, the people to come.
But now I like to throw a party. Do you like to throw a party now?
Now I do because I figured it out. It's got to be in the summer so nobody's in my house because I'm a shoes off house and I can't expect a whole party full of people to take off their shoes. But then I'm like, what do? I have to like then shampoo my carpets? And then, like, mop all the floors? No.
That's interesting. And also, I 100% understand. The beauty of Los Angeles is that you can have a backyard.
Yes.
There.
And that is nice. I have a little pool. People hop in there.
So you're splashing around. I bet these teens are like, what kind of cool adult stuff is going on in that pool?
I hope so. I would be so honored if any of those teens wondered what I was doing. They're just so cool. And they look old.
Mm-hmm.
It's wild.
I know.
I'm like, I know you're teens, but you look so old. Oh, maybe they're college teens now. I don't know. I haven't kept
up.
The
thing is, teens look old. And for example, Shailene Woodley looks not 58. So that's what I'm saying. It's all a spectrum. They're aging up so that they can look older and they're, you know, beating their faces and it's aging them. They're probably getting injection. I just feel like things, especially Los Angeles children, I mean, who knows what godforsaken materials are in their faces.
Yeah. I can't imagine growing up here. You grew up in New York, right?
Yeah. And you grew up in
I sure did. New Jersey. Okay.
New Jersey. So we were close by.
I would go to New York all the time. We were. Were you in the city or were you in a borough?
I was in Brooklyn.
Mm.
But my mom taught at Rutgers University.
My dad wanted me to go to Rutgers because Rutgers would have been
my
free.
My mom wanted me to go to Rutgers because Rutgers would have been free for me too.
Yeah, the state school would have been very, very cheap / free for my daddy. And I said, Papa, no, I have to go to New York City and go to a school that's not accredited. And he said, All right,
I guess I'll be in debt forever. Yeah, but Rutgers does have a good acting program.
It does, Mason Gross. And I...
Mason Gross.
Sometimes think I should have gone, but then also I'm like, oh, I'm fine. I don't... No one's literally asked to see my degree that I don't have.
Not a soul. Wait, where did you go?
I ended up going to the American Musical and Dramatic Academy. It was very bad. Some people call it Scamda. And to that I say, you're on to something. I truly learned nothing there. I learned more at like UCB and collaborating with people and like making videos, like actually doing the shit than like studying. But you went to a good school. According to my research that I did not do, but my assistant did, you went to Tisch and then you went to Royal Academy of Dramatic Arts in London.
Well, that was a part. It was a part of like Tisch. It was my senior year of Tisch. I went to London and did RADA. But I wouldn't call Tisch. What did you call it?
A very good school.
A very good school.
It is a very good school. It's up there with like, isn't it up there with like Yale? Yale's drama school?
Hell no.
Juilliard's drama school?
Okay, Tisch's grad school for drama is up there with those things. But I was just a little underground boo-boo. I mean, underground. I studied in the underground. Undergrad.
I was in the subways. So I was acting in the subway.
Yeah. No, but, acting school in general is... It's a lot of massage trains.
It is. It's a lot of, like, touchy-feely massage trains. And then, like, bark like a dog and don't be embarrassed about it. Like, really howl like a dog. And you're like, okay, when will this ever come in use?
Okay, can I tell you something, though, Nicole?
Yes.
I just acted in Ari Aster's new movie. You know, he did like Midsommar and Hereditary.
Yes.
He's like a total genius. And I had to bark like a dog. And I did think about my acting school training. Because you think in those moments, I will never do this again.
You never have to bark like a dog.
And I
and
sure
then you had
as fuck
to bark
did.
Like a dog.
I did.
That's really funny.
And I barked good.
I barked good. I'm sure you did. Oh my God. I wonder when my time will come where I get to go. Also, I guess I get it. It's like bark like a dog and don't giggle at the end, which I think I'd have some trouble with.
My favorite thing to watch is people breaking character, like people giggling in a scene. It's so much fun. And I love when people giggle in scenes.
Me too.
It's the stuff life is made of.
Oh, acting's fun. We get to do something that's really fun.
Really fun. We're just very lucky.
Really, really fun. Very lucky. You know, blessed. Booked, busy, blessed.
You know.
Wait. Zoe, we've come to the end. I could truly talk to you forever. Mm. You're so nice.
Same, same. You're so nice. I can't wait to come to your summertime pool party if I'm invited.
I will invite you. Yes, that will be fun.
And I think if I'm there, I might go down the block and just like... ring a bell.
It's not far. It's literally two houses down from me. I can show you the house and I would love for you to knock on the door. Oh, find out what those cool teens are doing.
I'm going to invite them over. I think there should be sort of a merging of the parties.
Oh my goodness. Cool teens at my house. I like don't even know how to talk to teens. I met a 13-year-old a couple weeks ago and I said, so what, are you like in school or something? And all of the adults around me were like, Nicole, what? I was like, I don't know. We don't have anything in common. Like, are you in school?
Oh, that's an amazing. I think you should say that also like in dating. That's a great line.
So, are you in school or something? What do you do?
you got a job or something?
Yeah, what are you? You like work? Mm. You live somewhere or something? Everyone's like, what is wrong with her? Zoe, we've come to the end. What would you like to promote?
I would love for everyone to watch Slip on the Roku channel April 21st. You can stream all 7 episodes. You can watch it for free at therokuchannel.com.
Ooh, that's nice. Is Roku... Wait, Roku's the device, not an app. Or is it an app?
So Roku is now creating original content.
Oh.
It is both a device and an app.
There we go. Cleared it up for everyone who didn't know, specifically me. Okay, if you like this episode of Why Won't You Date Me, you can, give it 5 stars on Apple Podcasts. Or if you want, you can write me something real horny hitting on me and I will read it. And you can send it to whywon'tyoudatemepodcast@gmail.com. And remember, shorter is better because these are getting long. Okay. This person said, I'm a gay man who truly loves and admires your pussy. Oh, but honestly, doesn't want to go anywhere near it. Okay. But in Instead, we'll challenge you to a blowjob competition to see who the true throat goat is. We will both put our, we will wear our sluttiest underwear and knee pads to see who can swallow the most cum in 24 hours. There will be a Jesus line around Christ. The block and down the street with guys just waiting to fill our tummies with sweet, sweet schlong jelly. Ew. A revolving door of dicks giving us throat yogurt. Ew! Just a parade of hard cocks waiting to shoot their penis coladas in our mouths. At the end of the day, we will count up the servicemen and see who takes home the cock gobbler crown. Best of luck, boo. Ugh. I really didn't like throat yogurt. That throat made yogurt. Me pretty
I would say
upset.
That was also my least favorite of
yeah,
the bunch.
That was, but that was nice. I like ones that make me upset, and that one did it. Okay, bye-bye. That's it for Why Won't You Date Me with me, Nicole Byer. Why Won't You Date Me is produced and engineered by... oh, the sweetest woman I know, Marissa Melnick. It is executive produced by other wonderful people, Adam Sachs, Joanna Solotaroff, and Jeff Ross. Thanks for listening. I love you. Thank you so much. We'll be seeing you next Friday with a brand new episode. What a treat. What a dream.
This has been a Team Coco production.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Love the flexibility of working in all sorts of places? Well, working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network like T-Mobile. We have America's largest 5G network, so whether you're on a video call at the park or uploading large files at a coffee shop, we have the 5G speed you need. Whatever takes you on the go, T-Mobile's got you covered. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/network today.
Coverage not available in some areas. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.